Jesus, you have always met us when we have made room for you. And we're going to make room for you now. We're going to expect that you're in the room. We're going to expect that you're going to speak to us clearly. We're going to expect that the Word of God is going to speak to us individually. And we invite any of the distractions in the room, we invite you over the distractions in the room and ask that we would help us to just set them aside for a while so that you may speak to us clearly. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, we are in a very significant series. It's called Gospel Everywhere. And last week, just to give a quick recap of where we were, we talked about the gospel being the highest and most loftiest thing possible. And so if you have a picture of a tent or an umbrella, that is the gospel. The gospel is simply this. It is undeserved grace. It is being given a gift from Jesus and of dying for our sins. His resurrection power is something that we get to camp underneath. And we talked about that being the most lofty of all things, and that regardless of your denominational background, if it's Baptist, if it's Methodist, if it's Catholic, if it's whatever, if you believe and understand the resurrection, we have to know that that is the loftiest of things. And we talked about being under that. There are going to be differences between different denominations. There's going to be differences between different people. But that difference is not what we need to focus on. We can also understand that even though we might not attend each other's churches, we can still call each other brothers and sisters because there's something loftier, and it's called the gospel that we camp under. We talked about people being outside of that gospel that might be living for themselves. And we respect where you're at, but we ask you to consider looking higher because we think there's a better way of life underneath this tent. We talked about people on the other extreme that might be in a completely different religion, that don't believe in the resurrection, that there is a religion that is full of regiments. We respect where you are as well, but we invite you to look higher, to understand that there is something different, a different religion than any other religion on the face of the planet. And it is this, it's not a religion at all. It's actually a relationship, and it is the gospel. And so this lofty thing, the gospel, is something that we can find unity in Jesus, in the church. But it's also something that's drawing people from the far left and the far right to come into because Jesus is that big. The gospel is that big. Gospel everywhere. That is how we started last week, the first couple chapters of 1 Corinthians, because Paul is writing to Corinth. He's writing to this church that's really messed up, and he's like, I'm going to set things straight. Gospel's everywhere. Gospel's high. Gospel's big. Lift your eyes up. Tonight, we're going to talk about looking in, because what ends up happening is that people end up coming under this grace. They end up coming under this umbrella, and then they have this idea that they can do whatever they want. Hey, I'm saved. I'm under the grace of Jesus. I can do whatever I want. Well, that was what I thought. I thought I was going to talk to you guys, and if you were listening to my little teaser last week, you may have come expecting that we're going to talk about sex tonight. Well, we're not, because I got to reading the Bible even more, and I felt convicted about something else. But I will talk about it for, like, just so I'm true to my word, for about 30 seconds, okay? Because chapter 5, 6, and 7 in 1 Corinthians, he addresses sexual purity. And he says, you know what, guys? There's a lot of you that are camping under this umbrella of grace, and you're doing whatever you want. And he says, and I even hear that there's some people here, there's one dude that's particularly sleeping with his mother-in-law, and he's proud of it. There is the potential, I think, if we don't watch it, to come under this umbrella of grace and just have liberty to do whatever we want. He says, that's not true. That's not good. He said there is a lifestyle that we need to change around. And so what he talks about is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is not just being under an umbrella, but being on a firm foundation. And I want to read that to you. This is our text from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder. and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. For no one can say, or for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anybody builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. Don't go to the next slide yet, because I want to talk on it for just a second. He's not saying gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw are necessarily bad. He's saying there's a foundation of Jesus, and you get to build your life upon it. The one word before this, it's not on the text, you can go back and check it, it's in verse 9, is he's making an analogy here of you being a building. He says, you're like God's building. And he wants to build a unique building in you. You get to be a unique building that's different from everybody else. And I'm giving you a foundation, but on that foundation, you get to be careful. You got to be careful with how you build it. But build it on that foundation, and it's going to be beautiful. And your life's going to look different from your life is going to look different from your life. It's going to be awesome. But then there's this warning in the next chapter, in the next section. Let's read the next part. It will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. In other words, he's saying this isn't about salvation. This isn't about salvation. This is about building your life on something that's worth something. And that's really what I want to talk to you tonight about. And I've got something in my soul that wants to just come out to you tonight. I care greatly. God cares greatly, way more than I do, but I care greatly that you are going to have a life that's going to last. It's going to be built on something that's worthwhile and something that's going to last, and that you're going to have a castle of a building that your life you can look back to and you say, this is my life that is what I dreamt it could be. And he says, whatever you build, however you build, if you're Christian or non-Christian, but especially even if you're a believer, you're building on this foundation of Jesus, but it doesn't guarantee, that does guarantee you're going to go to heaven, but it doesn't guarantee that your life's going to be great. We're not talking about salvation here. That's what he says at the end of that verse. He said, what we're talking about is we're talking about a house that's going to stand. It's either going to get burned up or it's going to be refined by fire. But it's going to burn. There's going to be fire because your life's going to be hard. And life's coming and it's going to be tough, and I want you guys to have a life that's worth a darn. So let's talk about that foundation. I want to talk to you about a guy named Herschel Walker. Does anyone know who Herschel Walker is? Am I that old? There's like 9 people here that know who Herschel Walker is, maybe 3. And they're all guys and they're all probably older. All right. Herschel Walker was the best college football running back of all time. He really was. So you just go back, check the stats. He's amazing. And I want to tell you about his beginning of his life. He started off as a person that got beat up in school regularly. And one day he's laying on the ground and he's wanting, we're talking about building our life on something, right? We're talking about building our life on something that's firm. And as he's getting pounded, as he's getting beat up for the 50th time, something he said clicked within him, deep within him, that says, I will never be beat up again. Never. And he started that day training himself. Don't laugh. I know this is kind of corny. But he said he trained himself to be a superhero. He says, I'm training myself so that I'll never be beat up again. And he ends up becoming convinced that he is going to become a superhero. And he ends up, and I don't even understand this, but it's documented everywhere, that Herschel Walker did 5,000 push-ups and sit-ups every day. What? I have a hard time getting my 35 in, you know? And it says that now he's 50 years old and he's cut back a little bit. He only does 2,000 a day. He's like the most in-shape 50-year-old that there is. And so you look at his life and you see he found something deep within him that he built his whole life on. Where there's a place where you get to the depth of where you want to be that you build your whole foundation on. And you've got motivation. That's the place where you have motivation to do amazing things. And they did a little study on his life, and he ended up being kind of weird. He's got like this multiple personality disorder where he can become whatever he really wants to become. And so a few years into his training and into high school, he ends up becoming the superhero, ends up becoming this amazing football star. And his coach comes to him and says, if you want to go to college, you're going to have to get your grades up. This is kind of a common problem with athletes, right? I mean, he's really focused on athletics, and working out and doing 5,000 push-ups a day. I mean, he doesn't have time for school. And that suggestion of him needing to get his grades up, something clicked. And at a ground level, he ended up basing his whole life on being an academic student. He was committed to that. And Herschel Walker graduated valedictorian of his class. It's kind of an interesting study of how the mind really can work and how you really want to base your life on something that's solid, you can really, if you're convinced it's there, you can build a whole house on that. But I'm going to tell you, Herschel Walker's belief of being a superhero pales in comparison to the foundation of Jesus. And the foundation of being a teacher, or being a student, pales in comparison to the foundation of Jesus. And there are a number of people in this room that I know have thrown themselves on the foundation of Jesus. And that's what Paul's saying in this letter. He's saying, hey, it's cool that you're underneath the umbrella of grace. How about throwing yourself down, your whole life, on the foundation of grace? That you're going to build your life off of this, where you really find deep down, you want to find motivation. So many people are like, I don't really know what I want to do. It's because your house is half built, and you don't know what it's built out of, and you don't know what it's built on, and you're just not sure what you want to do with your whole life. Get in tune with where the foundation is. Throw your whole life on the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you will have motivation. You will be motivated like nothing else to do amazing things in this world. That is what I love about campus ministry. That's what I have noticed about so many of you. That's what I'm noticing even about this week. The thing you want to talk about, there's a thing I love and there's a thing I hate. Here's the thing I love. The thing I love is I love it when people throw their whole life on the gospel and it changes them. Because it's happened for me. I'm going to tell you how many times, I don't know how many times I've had to throw my life on that. It's scary. I'm going to tell you right now, it's scary to throw your life on the gospel, but here's how it worked for me. I threw my life on the gospel because it was like, what's my occupation? I really wanted to be a fireman. Throw my life onto the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he ends up making me a minister. What? I really wanted to marry a girl named Beth Hawes. Threw my life on the gospel. On the foundation of Jesus, and I end up marrying somebody else. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus, again for that one. And I had to continue to do that over and over and over again. I could go through my whole life of different times where I've thrown myself on the gospel of Jesus and I've built my life on that foundation. And I'm going to start with a story. A lot of you have heard this. A lot of you haven't heard this. Good stories bear repeating, and so I'm going to repeat this story. I have a family 9 years ago of me, my wife, and my three kids. And my wife comes to me and she says, I think it's time for us to throw ourselves on the foundation. No, she didn't say that. She simply said, I want to adopt. And I said, that's nice. I don't. She said, well, think about it. And I said, okay. And so I kind of prayed about it. I thought about it a lot, and that didn't help. And then I prayed about it a little bit, and God was like, okay, maybe. So I go to her, and I said, okay, maybe. And she goes, oh, goody. I'm thinking about two. I said, I'm thinking about one. She said, okay, let's think and pray about that. So I thought and prayed about it. She thought and prayed about it. And she said, yep, I think two. And I said, that's cool, because I just prayed. And I said, one. So we prayed a little bit more. And every time I'd go to the Lord, I would just have all these reasons as to why it was going to get in a I don't want more than two or one, because it's going to mess up with ministry and all these things. You know, I had all these reasons, and I logically prayed through it, but it was through my filter a little bit. I'll be honest with you, it was kind of through my filter. But I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I came back, and finally I come back, and I'm like, one. And she says, two. Now, we don't ever fight. I mean, we really don't. So, I mean, this is getting to be ridiculous. Like, we're talking months are going by, and it's two and one, two and one. It's not changing. And I go to the Lord one more time, and this time I kind of do this on my own. I said, Jesus, I'm going to actually throw myself on the foundation that you've built my whole life. I've always trusted you. I'm going to trust you again. And it was that scary moment where I kind of let go, and I was just like, whatever you want, dang it. And of course, he came back, and he was like, two. So I go to my wife, and I'm like, honey, all right, I prayed. I mean, I really prayed. And I think God's telling me two. She goes, that's funny, because I just went and prayed, and really prayed, and I think God's telling me one. What's going on? And so we went with one. And I was like, yes! This is what my wife needed to learn a lesson. And so my daughter is eight. She's Micah. She's in the back here. And she was praying at the same time. You got to take into consideration children praying too. This is another deal. Well, we got a video that said, take a look at these kids that have been adopted, or these kids are up for adoption, but most of them have already found parents. And actually, this video we got, they said everyone had found their parent. But it was these kids from Ethiopia. And of course, Micah, she's 8 years old. She falls in love with this girl who's 8 years old. Her name's Bethlehem on this video. And she comes to us and she says, can we have the girl from the girl named Bethlehem? We're like, sweetie, that girl's already been adopted. That's not a possibility. And then we end up going through this, Paulette and I go through this adoption. We end up adopting one. We end up adopting Judah. And we're super excited. We get the paperwork. The referral comes in. We go and we take Micah out of school. We say, hey, we got our boy. And she goes, is there a girl too? We're like, no, sweetie, there's not, because we prayed for one. And you can I pray for that girl on the video? Well, you can pray for whatever you want. Well, you're going to learn that God doesn't always say yes to you either, you know, like your mom. We get a call the next day from the agency. And the agency says, I know you didn't ask for a girl. I know you didn't ask for two. I know that we told you that it's probably not the wisest thing to adopt two kids about the same age. I know all these things, but we thought we'd call you and see if you'd be willing to adopt a little girl. Their parents couldn't come up with the money, and so she's available again. And she actually was on that video that we sent you. So what's her name? Bethlehem. All right, guy, we're doing two. And I want to tell you that story because there's a lot of people that looked at my life during that moment in my life, during that time in my life, and they said, Pete, you're a minister. Of course you've thrown your life on the gospel. Pete, you've married a woman who's godly. Of course you've thrown your life on the gospel. You've done everything right. You're building your house on this gospel, but there's always a time in your life, always for the rest of your life, where you have to say, this next stage of my life, I've got to throw myself on the gospel again. And you got to keep throwing yourself on the gospel. You got to keep throwing yourself on the gospel. And a lot of you here have been Christians, and you know that you've at one time became a Christian. It's not enough. You are camping underneath this umbrella. It's not enough. I'll tell you what I love about campus ministry. I love talking to a Bailey Jones. Because Bailey Jones looks at me in the eyes last year and she's like, I just can't get India out of my head. I can't get India out of my head because I went to India, came back, and there's not a day goes by I don't think about those people every single day. I want to go back. My life's changed. I threw myself on the gospel, on the foundation. And I'm changed. And I guarantee you talk to her for 5 minutes about India, she's going to cry. She's going to cry. That's what she does. She's crying right now, wherever she is. She's crying. That's somebody who everybody looks to and says, hey, she's already living a life of Christianity. She's already put herself. She's like, no, there's one more thing. I got to throw myself. My future's on there. My foundation's on there. My occupation's on there. The place I'm going to live, it's all on there. Well, aren't you going to get married first? I don't even have a boyfriend. I'm going. That's awesome. That's what I love about campus ministry. Because you're getting to that age where you're starting to really build your house. It's going to either be refined by fire or it's going to burn down. And I want you to have a house that's going to last. I love campus ministry because I got a guy named Luke in our ministry that you all know because he's talked to everybody here. Everybody knows Luke. He loves people. He loves ministry. He wants to do campus ministry. He's raising money now. He has a heart to go to Germany to be a campus minister. Well, isn't that going to take a lot of money? I don't care. I'm going to raise money. God's called me to that. I've thrown myself onto that foundation, and I'm living my life there. I'm looking in deeper. Tonight's about looking in. He's looking in so deep, and he says, I'm going to live my life based on that. Well, they speak German there. You know that, Luke. Yeah, I know. It's a hard language. I'm going to learn it. People there need the gospel. God's called me there. I asked him. It was a scary thing, but I threw myself there, and he told me this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to build my house in Germany. I love that about campus ministry. I love that there's a meeting I go to over at Eastview this summer. And you got an entire group of people there where their ministry is dissolving into this ministry called Encounter. And some kid named Willie stands up in the back and he says, you know what? I kind of realize this isn't about a title. This isn't about this name or that name. It's about Jesus. And everybody there is like, including me. That's what I love about campus ministry. Do you know what I hate about campus ministry? I'm just going to get fired up tonight. Because I think one of the biggest enemies to those kind of stories, to some of the stories that I've heard this week, I've had 5 or 6 meetings of people that are really coming to terms with Jesus this week. Oh, my unbelievable stories. And I see those happening over and over and over again. I want more of that. I don't know about you, but that's what I want more of. I want houses built that are really strong. But the thing that's an enemy to that is something that might be a blind spot for a lot of you here. I hate, and I don't use that word lightly, I hate youth group. Youth group mentality. Because youth group mentality, especially in a college setting, is so immature. Youth group mentality says, you know what? We're just going to look at the gospel being an umbrella that I get to camp under. And it's not that hard for me to go from here to here. Oh, that wasn't that big. That wasn't that big a deal. And I still get to interact. And I still get to play games. I still get to be light-hearted. I still get to play some of the edgy boy-girl relationship games. We just call it Christian-y. It's just a little bit different, but it's kind of the same. We hang out, Steak and Shake, or we go get snacks. I just love my youth group. Ugh. This mentality of youth group doesn't change you. The thing I hate about youth group mentality is that you're just a part of a group. And there's nothing looking in. It's just looking around and being like them, being like the rest of the world, but I've got a little bit of an umbrella over me that kind of makes everything kind of cool and makes everything a little bit more justified. And I'm with people that call themselves Christians, but I still get to do the same darn thing everyone else does. I hate it. We have got to be called to something deeper, richer, and more mature. Do you know what I love about Luke 2 as he goes out at the beginning of the year? Because he cares about the people that are listening to the quad preacher. And he sits next to a dude named Ed. We've already celebrated this story before. Ed doesn't have any church background. He's like, I'll come to an encounter with you. He and Ed are going through a manhood study. And they're talking about what is it really like to be a godly man? How does a godly man treat women? What kind of boundaries are appropriate? How are we gonna interact? How are we gonna be deeper? How are we gonna throw ourselves onto this foundation and change our lives so that our lives are worth a damn? That's what they're doing. I love it. But I kind of feel like, and I'm not sure, I don't have a lot of details, but there's a part of me, and I'm the lead guy, and I don't have a lot of tight relationships with you, so if you want to be mad at somebody, you can be mad at me. I feel like our ministry has shown signs of slipping into youth group. I kind of wonder if everything on Facebook that we're sharing is bringing people to Jesus like it was 3 months ago, or maybe is it migrated to just like something else? How are we interacting with the quad preacher later in the semester as opposed to early in the semester? What are we talking about at the campus house? What kind of topics are there to kind of motivate us to becoming more? How are we interacting when we're at each other's apartments? What kind of games are we playing? What kind of social boundaries are we respecting? How are we treating the guys? How are we edifying the girls? Those kinds of things. I'm going to give you all permission. I'm going to give you all permission to be people to speak into each other's lives to help us rise up, to become not the youth group, but to ask ourselves, and here's how you solve it. I don't expect anyone to be the police and say, you're talking too much about this, or you're doing, that's not what I'm after. I'm after all of us forgetting about the stupid relational junk and asking ourselves, am I throwing myself onto the gospel of grace? Am I building my life on a foundation that's going to change? Because you know what? 3 years from now, youth group's over and your life's starting. What are you building now that's going to last? That's what I want for you. It's just not worth it. I don't think you want it. But I know you want this. I know you want it. Got a story to end with. It's a simple one. It's probably my most encouraging conversation I've had all week. I got an email message from a guy named Seth last Thursday. And he said something to the effect, you don't know me, but I need Jesus. Period. Cool. So I set up a meeting with him. And I don't want to steal too much of his story because he's going to tell you later tonight. But I'm going to steal a good chunk of it. Because it plays too much into what we're talking about tonight. You see, Seth graduated from Miami of Ohio, and he ended up coming here to do grad work. He's mature. He's older. Comes from a very conservative church. He's been in church his whole life, knows the Bible, read the Bible, understands the Bible, living his life based on this. His parents, his family, they all want him to follow Jesus. He wants to do the same. He ends up coming here by every measurable outside looking in way, you would all look and say, dude is rock solid. He ends up in the chemistry lab meeting his girlfriend, Alex. They've been dating for a couple months. Starts his relationship off solid. Just want to let you know, I premarital sex is off the table. She goes, me too. Awesome. Great way to start your relationship. And then he went on Facebook just last week, and there was this article. You got, I think, Willie, you posted it. It was like, date a man long enough. Did you guys see this one? Date a man long enough to know his name. Like, what's his name? Like, what's his spiritual name? Who is he really? He said, I think I might need to read that. So he reads through that. And he was like, check, check, check. And he said, I felt pretty good afterwards. Like, I hit all the checks pretty well. And then he went back to his girlfriend, and this is where it gets really good. Because she says, so what's your name? And he was like, He said, Pete, I had to think about it. And if I have to think about it, then I don't think Jesus was really in my life in a way that was recognizable by me or by my girlfriend. And no matter how much I've built my life on church and on the Bible, I need Jesus. And what you see is you see a guy that wasn't unsaved. You see a guy that hadn't thrown his life on the foundation in every area of his life. And he's like, I need to throw myself there. I need to be completely into Jesus. And that, as I'm meeting with him, I'm thinking, do you have any idea what I'm talking about on Monday night? This is ridiculous what God gives me. These analogies, these examples he gives me like 2 days before I'm going to preach the sermon. About looking in. He said, I got to look in closer to see who I really was. This is the message of tonight. This isn't about just you being under something. This is about building your whole life on something. We get to start that tonight. And Seth's going to be baptized tonight. That cool? Let's cheer for that one, because that's so cool. And Seth's got family that's come from Ohio, come here to see it, and we get to meet them. It's going to be amazing. If you're in the house too, I'm glad you're here. I think you're here somewhere maybe. And so here's how we're going to end tonight. We got three more songs. And you remember that last song we sang, I Want to Change Deep Down to the Core? Man, is that true for you? Do you want to live your whole life based on something that your high school counselor said you'd be good at? Is that what you're basing your life on? Are we throwing our lives on the foundation of Jesus? I'm going to tell you, a lot of you, it's not going to be ministry. Don't think that it's, oh, I throw my life on there, am I going to have to become a minister? That's not necessarily true. There's great options for you out there that God's got for you. But you've got to be willing to let it be anything. And so as we're going to sing these last three songs, I'm going to ask for us to stand. I'm going to ask for us to sing our guts out. I'm going to ask for us to identify the thing in your life, the relationship. That's a big one. The occupation. It's a big one. Your future. Put it at the foot of Jesus and ask, I want to build a house that's going to withstand the fire. It's going to be refined. And how awesome would it be to have the confidence, right now, you'd have the confidence to know that your life's not going to burn up, but you welcome the fire because it's just going to make you stronger. That's the kind of confidence you can have when we build upon the foundation of the gospel. Let's stand, and we're going to sing. Jesus, we want to be yours. Thank you for rescuing us. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for this umbrella we get to be under. I don't want to diminish the umbrella that we're under, but I don't want to underestimate how important it is that we would build our lives upon you. This is so big. You care way more, according to this verse right here, it's so clear. You care way more than us just becoming saved and not going to hell. That's starters. But you care about our lives being built, that we'd be buildings that represent you. And as we go through our life, we just continue to build this beautiful, unbelievable castle that's unique to us, because you know us better than we know ourselves. Help us to identify those things as we sing these songs that we need to throw on this foundation again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.